Yeah, I was only going to talk for 10 minutes, whether I can manage 12, but it's sunny, so we might finish early. And I do apologise, you know, on COVID's behalf, that Angela's not here and that you haven't got Mark, but that will come, you know, it's God's plans, isn't it? Not that I'm sure God didn't plan for Angela to have COVID, but you know what I mean. So we are praying, in case some of you are sitting there worried, thinking, oh my goodness, we haven't done our prayers, but that's just more appropriate to be afterwards. And, you know, this is really a testimony. You know, it's just going to be, you know, I sometimes share a little, well, 3-minute thing, maybe five, but I had this thing, it might be 10, it's going to be longer now, hopefully, because I've got to do a bit more than 10 minutes. Does it have a title? Well, that's for you to decide at the end, really, I think. If I was going to give it a title, and I think Jonathan was quite keen to have a title, I think we will say hope, right? I think we'll go with hope. Now, basically, this is going to be like a family testimony, but I'm going to start with something else. Being a bit vague, because I don't want to say what I'm starting with, because I don't want you to know before I say it. So, we're going to go back to Wednesday, the 1st of December, last year. And I was driving to come to church because Andrew and I were praying on the streets. And later that night, it was going to be soul food. And I wasn't feeling particularly spiritually empty, but, oh, goodness, I was just driving across Blackboy Hill, and I just said something to the Lord, just like making conversation, almost. It was really quite weird, because I don't usually say these words, which I thought about afterwards. I said, Lord, I said, have you got anything you want to share with me? Now, I don't use that word share. I might say, Lord, what is this passage saying? You know, but that share is quite intimate, really. I said, Lord, have you got anything you'd like to share? And I'm not joking. So Blackpool Hill, the top of White Ladies Road, by the time I was at the garage, not breaking any speed limits, obviously, you know, the petrol station, God had spoken to me, and it didn't go in my head. It went straight into my heart. And he said, and what he said, it wasn't a criticism. It was almost like an observation. And it wasn't anything I could share on the 1st of December, and you'll find out in a minute why. So I didn't share it. He said, my people, I'm not sure he said my people, I can't quite remember that, but, you know, basically it was, he was saying that. You know, they're looking back 2,000 years to my son's first coming. Great. But what about looking to my son's second coming? You know, and of course it's Christmas, we're all looking 2,000 years ago. And it's great that we can celebrate the birth of Jesus, don't get me wrong. But that's just what God said. What about my son's second coming? Well, I went and I prayed on the streets and we went, you know, and everything was fine. But when I got home, I'd like to say that I searched the scriptures. I wanted to find out more what the Bible was saying about the second coming of Jesus. I didn't search the scriptures. What do you think I did? Beginning with G, Googled. Yeah, I Googled, right? Got this amazing site straight away. It's called 100 Verses. And it is really good if you ever want, say you wanted to be something on salvation or something, and you can read through 100 verses, if there is 100, but I think they get them from somewhere, only the Bible, obviously. And just this is just me throwing this in, but when you start reading the verses like that, it's like having a sore throat and you're pouring medicine down your throat. It's so soothing. So anyway, this I didn't do that this time. I did afterwards, but the first verse. So we're actually going to have this on the slide. This is the first one I read. It's here. Oh, my goodness, I didn't know it was already here. Anyway, it's already here. And I'm going to try and read it. But only if you can still hear me, because I don't really want to look down there. I don't know why. So Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. Capital letters are mine, right? You won't find them in the Bible. And that is the English Standard Version, because for some reason, some of the versions don't have the word eagerly. How could you not have that word? It just makes all the difference to me. Eagerly. So, let's have a look. So I was very challenged to think, well, I knew I wanted to start waiting for the Lord's second coming eagerly, but taking one step back, because I'm still processing all that, I thought to myself, how do I wait eagerly? You know, what do I wait eagerly for? You can't wait eagerly for a bus, not even a holiday, because compared with the second coming of Christ, you know, they're too insignificant, it's superficial. But then I remembered there is something, and now we come onto the testimony, and then I'm going to come back to the second coming, so just bear with me. So I suddenly realised that Tony and I and our family, we are waiting eagerly. We are waiting eagerly for God to heal completely and restore our daughter's health. And this is not going to be about Missy as such, only indirectly. It's going to be about something that God said or did in our lives. But I need to just tell you a little bit about Missy for those that don't know her. She's our youngest daughter. She's 35 years old. For 18 years, since she was 17, she's had severe, chronic mental health illness. She has been sectioned more times than what we would ever be able to count. But, you know, I mean, maybe 15 times. I don't know. She can be a danger to herself, only herself, and that's why she has to be sectioned. She is known by the people who man the suspension bridge. She's run away from hospital and had the police helicopter looking for her. She's been on precarious situations on bridges. She's been down the gorge. It's been really, really tragic, you know, for her life and for our life, really. We currently actually have an episode. She has an episode. We've had to put her on 24/7 watch with a friend and with us. And only this morning, she's gone into this safe house sort of thing for 2 weeks. So we're trying to keep her out of hospital because hospital doesn't actually help her. So that's what we're trying to do. But as a family, we are blessed because Missy, and I mustn't cry now, but Missy has a beautiful faith. She's never lost it. In all these past 18 years, she's never lost her faith. Also, we are very close to her. Sometimes when you have mental health problems in a family, the child gets estranged from the parents, you know, but we are really close. And she has this God-given friend, this platonic man in her life, who's actually a leader of a small church, who looks after her with us. His commitment to her, we couldn't do this without him. We are overwhelmed by God's goodness in giving Missy that friend. So this testimony that I'm now going to share is not directly about Missy, but it's about God's grace. So I'm going to go back 8 years. It's almost 8 years. I think it was June because it was a time when the night was very short, you know, so you could see quite a bit late at night and early in the morning. And 8 years ago, Missy had just come out of hospital and she'd gone to stay in this, like, a community thing that the hospital, the NHS, you know, they were funding it, it was their idea. She could have stayed there 2 years, but she only stayed there 7 months, but she wanted to leave. But she was there almost 8 years ago. And I think it was a Sunday, it doesn't really matter. But we had a phone call from the community and Missy had done something, you know, she shouldn't have done. And you still feel so despondent. And you think, oh no, oh why? And I can remember standing in our dining room and I was just, so it's quite late at night when it was just getting dark, and I drew the curtains. And as I was drawing the curtains, I looked out into our very small garden. And I said to God, if Missy If she's going to be healed in this life, because obviously we know in eternity she's going to be the fulfilled whole woman that she was created to be. That's not a problem. And after all, earth is only like this and eternity is forever. So, you know, we're okay. But I said, Lord, if she's going to be healed in this life, I said, would you let me see a fox tonight? Now, I have to say to you, and I've worked it out, so we're going back 8 years. If we went back another 15 years, so like about 23 years, we, as a family, took on a strong word, a hatred of foxes with a vengeance. Because on a night about 23 years ago, we left our rabbits and guinea pigs in their day run. And at night, we forgot to put them away. You know what I'm going to say, don't you? When the next morning a fox had got them, there was a bit of fur around. And so we never liked foxes from then on. So why would I ask the Lord for a fox? I'd also say that it was for months and months we hadn't seen a fox, so there weren't that many around at that particular time in Bristol. I know we do have a good population, but I hadn't seen one. So that's what I said, Lord, you know, if you are going to heal Missy in this life, please, can I see a fox? What a strange thing to say. And then we went to bed. And I have to say, this is how fickle the heart is. Did I think about, oh, I haven't seen a fox, I just went to bed. I didn't really think anything more about it. Anyway, I must just introduce you to Zach. Now, Zach isn't, but was, our 13-year-old black and tan Cavalier King Charles Spaniel. And he was deaf. He was black on all black on the top, and he was deaf. And he slept by my side of the bed. So the three of us had gone to bed. Guess what? It's never happened before. It's never happened since. I got woken up in the night by Zach barking, which is a bit annoying because, you know, sleep is a very precious thing. But what Zach could do sometimes, he could walk out, you know, go down into another bedroom or something where the door was ajar. He could pour it open, he could go in, and then the door would sort of close a bit and he couldn't get out. So I assume that's what had happened to Zach. So I just got up, I went and looked in the bedroom, I could hear him barking. He wasn't in any of the bedrooms, I went downstairs. He wasn't there, I could still hear him barking. I came back into the bedroom. Must have disturbed Tony. Tony came round to my side of the bed and he said, look, remember, he's black and he's deaf, he hasn't moved, he's down there. He's down there, he's still asleep. I said, well, Tony. No, Tony could hear the dog barking. I said, someone's dog has got out and he sounds, you know, I'm distressed, I can't leave him there, I'm going to go down and see to this dog. So I made myself look respectable. I went downstairs, I got the keys out, I unlocked the front door, I put my shoes on, I unlocked the front door, I walked down the garden path, I opened our gate, I looked from here to that wall where our garage was, and what was there barking at me, looking at me? A fox. A fox was there. Now, what I say when I think about this story is that I didn't just get a glimpse of a fox. Oh, is that a fox going over the garden wall? Oh, thank you, Lord, a fox. No. I interacted with that fox. That fox woke me up. I searched the house. I put on my shoes. I unlocked the door. You know, I had to go out of the house to see that fox. It's as if God was saying, Lindsay, I'm going to show you a fox. So that is our fox testimony. And that was 8 years ago. So as a family, now, you know, before the fox story, we might have just prayed that Missy wouldn't be too bad, but we wouldn't have prayed in the same way for her healing in this world, because maybe that wasn't God's will, but we stand on that fox story. We wait for Missy's healing and her restoration. So we look for... We find as a family, we look for foxes everywhere to speak to our faith, to strengthen our faith, to uphold it. So, if your eyesight's not good, or if you're listening, well, no, you're not going to be listening online, I've got a fox jumper on. I actually have fox pyjamas, I have fox socks, I have a fox mug, I have a candle container that's a fox. We send each other fox cards. Missy has fox cuddlies on her bed. And if we see one in real life, well. In fact, on the 1st of December, which has nothing to do really with this, but I was out there, I'd parked the car, come into Soul Food, and right in the middle of the road out there was a fox. Every time I see a fox, I talk to the fox. I just was like, oh, hello. You know, I just go and talk to the fox. And I don't know if you know the mural at... When you're going down the Muller Road at Eastgate, you know, you've got IKEA, you've got Tesco, you've got the big M32 roundabout. There's a big coloured, really high mural there with like wildlife on it. And there's an amazing fox. So I always look at that fox. We're always looking for foxes. And guess what? Sometimes I remind God about the fox story, just in case he's forgotten. But he hasn't. I'm going to have a sip of water, do you mind? So the fox is an extra dimension in our lives, but we still do normal life. So we laugh with Missy, we cry with her, we listen to the plans that she makes, we share life with her, but we carry the fox story in our hearts, because it's our hope. Right, I'm going to say, in Chris Whitty fashion, next slide, please. This, you know what, I thought, when I saw this verse, I thought, take it. It's an amazing verse, isn't it? Oh, I'm going to read it here. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I love it, the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. And that's from Psalm 23. So do take that verse if you possibly can. It's so encouraging. Anyway, just very quickly, back to the second coming. Because this all started with, we want to be like the Christians that the Hebrew writer was writing about. We want to eagerly await Christ's second coming. You've heard how we are eagerly waiting our daughter's healing. So, I mean, I haven't got the answers. This is not a sermon. This is not anything on Jesus' second coming. It's just I'm preempting it. Maybe it's something we need to think about more. So this is just an introduction to an introduction. And what I would say is that we must still do normal life, right? Because, see, we don't, with Missy, we don't sit in a box waiting, in a darkened room waiting for her to be healed. We have to do normal life. And although we're going to be waiting for the second coming of Jesus, we still do normal life. We're still concerned about war. How could we not be at the moment with Ukraine? We're concerned about climate change, the creation of a more sustainable earth. We've got all the worries and concerns at a more individual level. Of course we have, and God understands all that. But, we can have an overriding hope, you see, in the second coming of Jesus, when there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and all things will become new. So I'm going to say, let's just have a look at a couple of verses about the second coming for you just to absorb a little bit and just think about it, just focus on it. So next slide, please. Don't tell me it's already there. Was it? No. Okay. So I'm going to read them so you can just pause and think about them. They are amazing promises. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. And that's from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And then Titus writes, and I've just chosen the Amplified version, it's part of a verse, where it says 16 to 17, that's the one above, wasn't it? It's verse 13. Awaiting and confidently expecting the fulfillment of our blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Saviour, Christ Jesus. So they're verses that we can hold on to. We can treasure them in our heart. They can help form the structure of the hope that we have. Now, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 5:17 that without the resurrection of Jesus, so in other words, he's saying if Jesus had just been born and died, if there'd been no resurrection, he says, Paul writes, our faith would be futile. It would be worthless. It would be powerless because we needed the resurrection of Jesus. He overcame death. Now, I am not going to add to scripture, you'll be pleased to know, but I do like to just add one more little thing. I take it one step further. It's not just, obviously you know what I'm going to say, it's not just the birth, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus, but it is his second coming. Because there wouldn't be this new earth and new heaven and all everything new if Jesus wasn't coming again. And that's why we eagerly expect and wait for him to come. And so having this extra dimension, this second coming dimension, like we have the fox dimension, let's have the second coming dimension. It strengthens our faith, it increases our hope. Hope, not just a wishful hope, obviously, but a certain hope. There's nothing more certain that Jesus is going to come again. There's nothing more certain than that. So every day I have a choice. I can choose to stand on our family fox story. I can choose to stand on the amazing truth that Jesus will come again. And these choices, as I say, give me hope. And you have the same hope as me because we share the same wonderful Jesus. So we can all have hope. And I would say to you that if you've got a story or something in your lives that it seems as if the prayer is unanswered, thinking of our Missy story, but remember, we are a blessed family in that. But if there's anything that you want, that you're moved and you want prayer for at the end of this meeting, then don't go home without first asking someone to pray with you. I mean, you know, there's the pastoral team, there's the leadership team. I would love to pray with you. But, you know, let's hold that hope. Let's seek help and prayer if we need it. Let's stand in that uttermost concrete belief that Jesus is coming back, that meanwhile we are so loved by God, but I mean that's another sermon, isn't it? So we won't go on. And I'm going to finish with four words. I'm going to say, come, Lord Jesus, come. And Tony's going to pray for us, or with us.
Sorry, it was a bit hard for me to hear that sometimes again, but anyway, just carry on. Just pray, not from any particular version, just my heart here that's coming out. So, Lord, we do thank you. Thank you that we have hope. Lord, we have the ultimate hope. We have the hope that you're coming back when all this world is done with. You'll be there. You'll be treating us well, Lord. We just thank you for that. You were willing to die on a cross so that we could and have that hope and know that when it all comes to the end, we will be with you. We just want to thank you for that. And we know that whatever we see now is not eternal. It's just now. We thank you that when we're with you, it will be eternal. Thank you, Lord. All of us are hoping now. We're hoping for answers to our prayers, Lord. Hoping for things that come together. We're seeking answers. We're seeking your work in this world now. But we know you have your plans, Lord, and it's not always the way that we would see them, but we do have your plans. And we just ask, Lord, as we come to you, knowing that our prayers are heard, knowing that our prayers go up to heaven. We just want to say to you, hear us, Lord. The people here who've got long prayers, long stories, things that they haven't seen answers to, things that trouble their lives, Lord. We say, hear us, Lord. Answer those prayers. Thank you, Lord. We think of the desperation in Ukraine with some people running to escape to keep their children alive, fighting to preserve their land, Lord. They never asked for that. They didn't want it. They want peace. Lord, I just thank you that you can be there, Lord, working. You can supply their needs, Lord, through other people, through the weapons, through the skill of the soldiers, through the conviction in their heart that they want to fight and they want to preserve their country and their life. We just thank you for that. Lord, just pray for wisdom to the world leaders, how to deal with that. We just thank you that there are wise men there, Lord, that can look to you and hope that the wise voices are heard. Thank you, Lord. And the last thing I just want to pray for is, we heard the midterm review from Angela just recently for Alma. Heard about possible ways forward, Lord, and encouragement for everyone to be involved, and encouragement for parts to play for everyone here, Lord. And we just want you to guide our ways in that, Lord. This is a church that you've built. This building's been here for so long. Lord, just be with us and be with the leadership team now as they pray about that. And give each individual here a yearning in their heart to see the church just go in your direction, Lord. Yes, thank you. Thank you that we can look to you, Lord, that Jesus is our Saviour. Amen.